Okay, so Isaiah chapter 8, starting at verse 19. When someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Consult God's instruction and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged and, looking upwards, will curse their king and their God. Then they will look towards the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Hey. Some school trips have a way of lodging themselves in your memory. I remember two particular school trips that were very, very similar. The first was going to London Dungeon. At the London Dungeon, you go underground on a tour accompanied by creepy actors, a creepy makeup, various kind of grotesque animatronic figures. You're immersed in the world of Sweeney Todd, Jack the Ripper, and the Tower of London, and other kind of horrible stuff like that. It was a dark and scary experience. Not my cup of tea at all. And the second school trip was very similar. It was like it was the play The Woman in Black. You may have seen as well. But we were all packed into this tiny theatre, dark show, very quiet, apart from a number of very deliberately planned moments to make you jump in your seat. And the story of the play, storyline is chilling. Again, not my cup of tea, but it was a school trip. But both of these experiences that we had to endure involved the time of being in the dark, surrounded by darkness, kind of suffocated by the darkness. And then, eventually, the moment that we longed for, really, when we left the dungeon, left the theatre, through the doors into the bright daylight after being in the dark for so long, into the daylight, and the horror of what we had just experienced was behind us. There was a memory now, left it behind us. And that's actually what this world is like. We live in a dark world, a world of evil, a world of distress. This isn't a world of peace or safety. When we watch the news or we scroll on BBC News, our phone, see the world, we see the darkness. Now you might say, well, it's a mixture, isn't it? It's not all bad, it's not all good. There's goodness in the world, there's darkness, it's a mixture. Now, there's some truth in that. But the Bible shows us a clearer and more realistic picture of this world, that the world just isn't the way it's supposed to be. This world is dark, shrouded in darkness. And what everyone longs for, everyone, although we may not say this out loud, what everyone longs for is for light to break into our dark. That moment when the doors open, step out into the daylight, and we can breathe again. That's what we long for. And the Bible tells us that that moment that we long for light to break into our dark world, is not just a possibility, but that it has started. And it has happened through the arrival of a king. And it's through him, through that king, through his rule and reign on earth, that the darkness is dispersed and will one day be banished forever. So first, though, Isaiah shows us the world as it really is. The world is dark. That's in chapter 8, verses 19 to 22 of what we just read. When someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Consult God's instruction and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light at dawn. Stressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged, and looking upwards, they will curse their king and their God. Then they will look towards the earth, see only distress and darkness, fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. When I was on the staff of a high school, every Monday morning, it was a regular topic of conversation. The other support staff would talk about what their medium or fortune teller had revealed to them over the weekend. It was a popular topic of conversation. Isaiah is addressing ancient Israel, asking why they would consult mediums and spiritists when there's things they want to know. They should ask God, the maker of the world. They should ask him. What's happening in ancient Israel is just one symptom of a society that lives life without God. That is what our world is like. In this world, we have forgotten our Maker and we live our lives without God. That is why the world is in darkness. Isaiah says in verse 20, 21, 22, if anyone does not speak according to his word, they have no light of dawn. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged, and looking upward will curse their king and their God. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness, fearful gloom. They will be thrust into utter darkness. All those descriptive words, distress, hungry, rage, darkness, fearful gloom, utter darkness. It's a picture of our world. This is a dark world. When was the last time you experienced a serious power cut in the evening? So the lights in the house go out, the street lights outside go out, grope around in the darkness, unable to see your hand in front of your face. Be plunged into darkness is disorienting. In Scandinavia, because of its location on the globe, big portions of the year are spent in darkness. And the effect of that on mental health, on well-being, is well documented, because we long for the light. When you're camping in Zimbabwe, sitting around the campfire, one of the most ominous noises that you can hear is whoop, whoop, because as the darkness deepens, some of the most fearsome animals hyenas are in their element. Suddenly you're reminded of your vulnerability. We long for the morning to come, daylight, safety. My father-in-law is, well, do a better hyena noise than I. But isn't it true, though, that this world is a dark and dangerous place, a place of fear and distress, and we as human beings just long for the light? And the reason that we're in this mess is because we are a world that has turned our back on our Creator. If you're not a follower of Jesus today, or you're listening online, we're glad you're here, we're glad you're listening. What do you make of that? What do you make of that assessment of the world? Do you agree that the world is a dark place? What's the reason for the darkness in the world? And importantly, where is hope found? After showing us the problem, Isaiah tells the people of Israel some wonderful news. And through his prophet Isaiah, God makes wonderful promise. So in verses 9, verses 1 to 5, God promises light. God promises light. In verse 1 of chapter 9, God says, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress." Suddenly, God says, everything is going to change. It's like suddenly, after a long, long, dark night, the sun is going to rise, and the whole world is going to be bathed in light. Verse 2 says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice dividing the plunder." Look how many times God mentions joy and rejoice. This day is going to be the most wonderful day ever. Those words about enlarging the nation, that's a little nod to God's promises to Abraham to bless and grow his people. All God's promises coming to fruition. Finally, this day when the light dawns is going to be a day of flourishing, day of joy, day of plenty, a day of abundance. And there's more. Look at verse 4 onwards. "That as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor." So Israel had been enslaved in Egypt many years before Isaiah, and when Isaiah was speaking to them, they were about to be carted off into captivity again. But Isaiah says, on this future day, when the light breaks into our dark world, it will be a day of freedom. An emancipation proclamation will be broadcast to the world. The yoke, that heavy burden carried by oxen, the bar across the shoulders that every member of the human race carries, will be broken. It will be a day of peace as well. Imagine walking through the rubble of a French town on V-Day, stumbling across a grey uniform, a pair of boots, and the grey uniform has a black symbol on, red background. Now, would you try and track down the person that it belonged to? Leave it at lost property? Surely not. I'd go on the bonfire. On the day of liberation, the day of peace, Isaiah says in verse 5, every warrior's boot used in battle, every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning. It will be fuel for the fire. No more oppression, no more war, no more bloodshed, no more darkness. Sometimes for us today, there are seasons of life where we seem to be staring the darkness of this world in the face. We get right up close and personal with the darkness. And we're confronted with the brokenness of the world almost hourly and in the most unsociable hours of the night. God says here that the light has dawned in the dark world. So when it seems like the darkness that we experience will last forever, God says it won't. So the darkness of this world that maybe you are experiencing right now, up close and personal, will end. Trauma will be forgotten. Scars on our skin will disappear. The nightmares will stop. God has promised that there will be no more gloom. And not merely that God will carry us away to some perfect afterlife, but that he will completely and irreversibly transform this life. This world will be free of the evil and the darkness and the pain and stress. Let's just sit in that for a moment. Let's just enjoy that, because it is completely true. We have it on good authority, the word of God himself, and he is completely trustworthy. So the world is dark. God promises light, brightness like the sunrise, a new day when the darkness is scattered. How is that going to happen? God promises light through the forever King. That's verses 6 and 7. The darkness in this world is beaten back, and the light breaks in through the arrival of a King. Look at verses 6 and 7. Many of us will have heard these before, but let's just try and hear them again. We're hearing them for the first time because they are wonderful words. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice, righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish. There will be king given as well. Did you notice that? Given by God. And here, again and again, what's repeated is that he will be king forever. I saw a video on YouTube the other day. It was an interview with Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, wrestler, bodybuilder, actor, entrepreneur, philanthropist, very rich, very famous, and there seemed to be a growing number of people who think that will be US president someday. One of the comments under the video said, "This man has the shoulders to carry the world." Quite an epic comment to make on the video. This man has the shoulders to carry the world. And I went on to give other reasons why Dwayne Johnson would be a great president. Now, Dwayne Johnson may have large shoulders, but Isaiah is being 100% serious here when he says about the promised king that the government will be on his shoulders. Because this person has credentials that no one else has got. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That is the forever king that we're talking about. This wise, strong, eternal king will rule over the whole of creation. His kingdom will be a kingdom of justice, of righteousness. This king reigns, Isaiah says, on David's throne. This is the king promised long, long ago. An everlasting kingdom. The king that we are all longing for. The king that we all need. Now imagine that you are a Jewish person in first century Palestine. been thinking about Isaiah chapter 8 and 9 in your quiet time that morning. You go out and you see this miracle worker that everyone's talking about. And this day the man cries out in a loud voice, "The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." You have Isaiah's words ringing in your ears from that morning as you see this man demonstrate incredible power, healing diseases, confronting injustice, working miracles. And this man is proclaiming, "The time has come. The kingdom of God is near." Later in the day, you're thinking about Isaiah 8 and 9 again, about the everlasting king, about this wonderful kingdom that's going to come. And you wonder if this man that everyone's talking about, this miracle worker from Nazareth, could be him. He's demonstrating the power of God. People can see it with their own eyes. And then you think about the darkness of this world. Think about the evil, the pain, fear, the distress, the suffocating darkness. And then this man that everyone's talking about stands up in front of everyone and this time cries out in a loud voice, "I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." This person, Jesus. Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one that Isaiah is talking about. Jesus' arrival inaugurated the kingdom on earth, his kingdom on earth, kingdom of light, which expands until it fills the whole earth. And one day when Jesus returns, it will be established fully on earth, as it is in heaven. And the darkness of this world will be dispersed forever. God promises light to our dark world. It comes through the perfect reign of the forever. The Bible says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear?" What if I asked you today, what are you afraid of? We don't need to fear the darkness anymore because this is Jesus' world. King Jesus is on the throne. He is in charge. And he stands ready to comfort us and strengthen us in the face of darkness. Jesus is the light of the world. And God's word says that the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not and will not overcome it. So all who align themselves with Jesus, including us today, if we're Christians, will see evidence of the darkness of the world being back. It won't be completely gone until Jesus' return, but the light has dawned because Jesus has. So we pray, let's take a moment to be quiet and reflect, then I'll pray before we sing. Father, we are painfully aware sometimes of how dark this world is. All the pain and the fear and distress still in the world. And yet, Lord, it is incredible that Jesus, forever King, is the light of the world, brings the light into our dark world. So we thank you, Lord, and we worship today. Lord, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would return soon, and so that your kingdom, though it is growing and growing and growing in this world, thank you, that as the darkness is being beaten back, that one day the Lord Jesus will return and your kingdom will be established fully, and there will be no more darkness, no more pain, no more fear, no more distress. Praise you. Bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our final